Hello, and welcome to the PAR platform Devs AMA. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know that you've probably gotten a lot of notifications from us about this, and the reason for that is because we are so excited. First of all, I hope that everyone is keeping well because of, you know, general hand waving at the world, and that the pandemic is not mistreating you too badly. So today we've got a very, very exciting guest. I'd like to welcome Charles Lamanna, who is the CVP of the PAR platform at Microsoft. Hello, Charles. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Donna. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to the community and see what questions they have in store for me.
Fantastic. So as many of you may know, we had our very first dev conference for PAR platform on July 15th, so a little over a month ago. And there were a ton of questions that came in as a result of Charles's keynote, Scott Guthrie's keynote, Maria Nagaga's keynote, and the 15 live sessions, coding demos we did. And every single session involved PAR platform, as well as developer stuff. And we had a whole bunch of people say, hey, I have questions about this. I didn't know about this. And because we didn't have time to address all those questions, we decided to host this AMA. So Charles, you ready for some real, real talk from actual?
Okay.
So the first question is a question that I actually had a long time ago. Before I joined the team, I always wondered what the PAR platform had to do with me. I am an old school Windows dev. I do .NET, I do Java badly, I do lots of C++, lots of C#. So what does PAR platform mean for a dev like me? Do I work in it? Do I not work with it? What's your take on this low-code tool set, and why do coding devs care?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things for this question is to say that it's not low-code or code-first, like Visual Studio, Java, .NET, that type of thing. It's actually low-code and code-first. You want to go use them together to go build your solutions a heck of a lot faster than you could do it in the past, and also to go involve different parts of the company in a way that you couldn't do in the past. And one of the, like a good example of this, if you look at dev tools today, is there's always low code experiences. If you use Xcode and you're building an iOS app, you have Storyboard. That's a low code way to go build a UI that you go wire up and hook up behind the scenes. Power Apps is no different in that it provides a really rich way to do UI, to do logic, to do data, which you can go wire up and connect to code that you write behind the scenes. That combination is what makes low code really interesting today in a cloud world, because it makes developers able to go build these full stack solutions, particularly for line of business applications inside the enterprise, incredibly quickly in a way with really rich and engaging UI. And I'd say the most exciting thing about low code is the idea of fusion teams, or those combinations of business users and citizen developers that can collaborate with the coders and use Power Platform as that bridge, as that way to go, say, create a UI from a business team and then have a coder drop in and write the logic or bring AI or bring ML, do the more sophisticated stuff. So I'd say at the heart, the answer to this is going to low code doesn't mean only going to low code. It's just mixing low code in as part of your tool chain. And when we look at Microsoft, it's Visual Studio, VS Code, Power Platform, GitHub, Azure. All of those are just tools to make developers go faster and be more productive.
I really like that, where it's just a productivity tool, where you use the right tool to solve the right problem. And I've been on the team about 8 months now. And what I found to be awesome is I built my very first mobile app without tearing my eyeballs out, because I didn't have to build it twice. That was the best part. Usually, you know, you're futzing around with Xamarin to build an Android app, then you're refutzing to build the iOS app, and of course everything's different. And then you're wrangling with the iOS store, then you're wrangling with the Play Store, and your life is just like a lot of wrangling and a lot of UI futzing. And the logic might be the same, might be exactly the same data store, the same logic, the same, you know, click this button and this happens. But the whole UI mess just kind of disappeared. And that made me, as a developer who does not deal with UI, incredibly happy. So that was a fun side benefit I discovered. So all of you out there who need to build mobile apps, especially for enterprises, and you really kind of hate it, check out PARplat, just because you can do all the sophisticated stuff you're used to, but maybe have your finance teams weigh in with all of, you know, the little sliders and pie charts that they need. And, you know, everyone's happy. When finance is happy, everyone's happy. You've learned that. So you talked about this idea of fusion dev teams, where there are teams of traditional developers and people who own and run specific business units like finance, legal, HR, operations, and they're working together to solve business problems. Do you have any examples of real companies in the world who are doing that, who we could think about as role models?
Yeah, I'd say, of course, within Microsoft, we're big Power Platform customers. That's a boring example, but I think we have something like over 100,000 users every month that use Power Apps just alone. There's over 25,000 Power Apps. So we're a really great example. But I'd say a different one, a non-technology company from a software perspective, one of my favorite is GlaxoSmithKline, which is GSK. So they provide healthcare services, life sciences, things like that, very large multinational company. And what's really interesting is they've gone on this journey where first business users or citizen developers discovered Power Platform, and they created this really exciting, energized community, over 2,000 users in the business that were building apps on Yammer, talking, that type of thing. Then over time, they've actually evolved that where they started to marry together those business users, those citizen developers, with IT and developer resources. And the ratio is probably something like 20-1 or, you know, something pretty sharp. But what's great about that is you have people who know the business processes, building the UI, doing the validation. And then you have developers and IT resources doing the data integration, doing the machine learning, doing the data modeling, things like that. And they work on the same platform, building the same solutions, which are really transformative in terms of what it means for the business. And there's tons of great examples they've done now where they've been able to replace pen and paper. They've been able to go bring AI and BI where they didn't have it before. And they've been able to do this at a massive scale very, very quickly because it's so easy to get started with the Power Platform and because so many business users are so hungry to participate and contribute and work with professional developers and IT to start to transform what it means to be digital at work. So I think GSK is one great example. Schlumberger is an example we use pretty often. We have a bunch of great videos out there on YouTube where we've interviewed and worked with Schlumberger. They have something like 80,000, 100,000 employees. And that's great because that's IT, pro dev, and business users all kind of collaborating together to build a big fleet of very successful and very valuable applications. So anyway, a whole bunch of big enterprise examples out there. But all, I'd say the most important aspect for all of those companies was the mindset shift, the cultural change, being open to have business users and business developers to collaborate and work with professional developers and IT. Once you get over that hump, that's when really magical things start to happen and you can be cranking out 10 apps a day as a company, which is something that you really can't do if you only live in the code world.
I think that is that's the key right there, right? It's the mindset shift. We let go of this idea that business people do business stuff over here in, you know, building 9, and then devs do code stuff over here in building 26, and never shall the two meet. And they just send requirements back and forth and yell at each other. And as soon as you get out of that mindset of, my God, the devs don't never understand our business, or my God, why don't these legal people actually understand how technology works? And that allows companies like Schlumberger, which is over 100,000 people, and half of their employees like are on oil drilling rigs, right, off in a ocean somewhere. I don't know if you've heard about this construction company in New Zealand, very, very well-known construction company, but they're partnering together their dev team, who are, of course, in like central IT, along with their construction workers. And they are coming together to build their timesheet apps. And immediately they found tremendous benefit because these construction workers, they look at Power Apps and they say, you know, the buttons you have are really tiny for our fingers because we're construction workers. So we have construction worker hands. And those are really different than people who type on little keyboards all day. So they just made the buttons bigger and they had less concepts on the screen. And they said, we don't need to read all this stuff here. We know how to fill in a timesheet. So make it simple, put in the hours, hit submit, goes to your boss. So they really simplified their app after they brought in their construction workers, their IT folks, and their devs into the same place to upload timesheets to the central data store that they've always used. So that was one of my favorite stories from earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right. And And you probably know more than even me, but there's a story after story like that in every country, every continent, all around the globe, where we start to see these really different dynamics occurring for developers that wasn't possible 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Exactly. And there's nothing more job secure wise for developers than having everyone in your company say, we want you to help us make things to run our business better. That is job security all day. If you can help empower people to realize the power of the dev team. All right. So those are my questions. I wonder if the audience has any questions for us. I bet they do. Okay. So of course we get straight into the dev questions. So tell us, Charles, how can developers customize? Where are the hooks to plug in their code?
Yeah. And I think one of the core items that we talk about in the Power Platform is something called no cliffs. And the whole idea is we don't want to have you start building an app and then you want just a little bit more of control and then you're stuck. You fall off a cliff and you have to go build it from scratch again. So we try to make sure there's escape hatches all over the platform where you can drop into code. And one of the most commonly used, one of the ones where there's a lot of excitement right now, is something called the Power Apps Component Framework. And that's a way to go build a custom control using JavaScript or TypeScript, which will render just like any of the other low-code controls inside of Power Apps. And that works for both Canvas and model-driven experiences. And of course, those are the prevailing languages for client-side UI. And those controls you build will work not only on Android and iOS, but they'll also work in web applications. So there's really a good value of investing in a control as a developer, which you publish to be used across a whole bunch of different other apps by those business users. So that's PCF. Power BI has the same type of thing. They have a custom visual inside of the Power BI experience. These visuals can be used to get super tailored, very specific experiences to render the data that you're analyzing or generating reports over inside of Power BI. We use those extensively within Microsoft. I think I have a Power BI dashboard I use every day where every control is actually a custom one. But it's great. It's how we actually run our business at a glance. If you want to go beyond the UI layer, you can go drop into the middle tier. Inside the Common Data Service, we have something called plugins, which have a Visual Studio experience. It's a good way to go define logic and basically calculations that will run as part of data or action operations inside the Common Data Service. They're used, I think, very, very extensively by our largest customers. There are customers with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of lines of code inside of these plugins. These are .NET based plugins only. We do plan on expanding the languages on the server side in the future. This is a great tool with a really great end-to-end dev lifecycle from debugging, troubleshooting, authoring, things like that, to go enrich and improve the Common Data Service. We also have custom connectors. And what custom connectors allow you to do is to go register any API hosted anywhere written in any language as just a connector that looks like it came out of the box inside of Power Apps and Power Automate. These custom connectors are one of our customers' favorite ways to go enrich as a developer, because you can go build your microservice in Kubernetes and say Azure Kubernetes Service, or even if it's a legacy on-premise hosting environment, you can go build it wherever you want as a developer. And all you have to do is just register an open API specification, which describes metadata about your API, provide an icon, and it lights up like that for every low-code developer that you share it with. And this is a great way to, as a developer, stay where you want to build that logic, to build those microservices, to build an API economy or API catalog inside of your company, but still leverage that inside of the Power Platform. And we have great integration for Azure, of course. If you use Azure API Management, web apps, Azure Logic apps, all those are function apps. Those all can show up just with a click of the button inside of Power Platform as well. So I think there's a few different examples. You have some more sophisticated ones like SSRS reports and things if you want to go write them. But there's a lot of hooks. And the whole idea is, if there isn't a hook today and you run up against it, we're probably working to go add a pro developer hook over time, because we really want to make sure there is absolutely no cliff where you got to start over. If you want to do 80% low code, 20% code first, we're going to make that work seamlessly. So that's a really big focus for the platform, with lots of options today and a whole bunch more options coming over the next 6 to 12 months.
That makes me incredibly happy to hear, because it is one of the things that we get a lot of questions about, that how can pro devs help more? right? How can we use our natural skills of like, this is interesting, I live in Visual Studio. How can I best use Visual Studio and whatever dev tools of my choice to integrate better in with Power Platform? So for all of you watching out there, if you want to see examples of all the things Charles talked about, whether it's PCF, the Power Platform component framework, where you build your own TypeScript control in Visual Studio and pull them into the Power App of your choice, or whether you want to see the Power BI embedded controls, or you want to see the .NET plugins, or you want to see the various connectors in, you know, whatever serverless function you have. We have examples, live code examples of every single one of those as part of our Powerful Devs conference. So if you check out the archive, you will see 30-minute, 25-minute demos for all of them. And there's going to be a lot more coming up at our Ignite conference, September 22nd through 24th. A lot more at our Ignite conference. So check that out, and tons of more coding dev loves Power Platform stuff coming up this year. So next question, and this kind of ties up with what we just talked about. What languages are supported with Power Platform? And you kind of touched on it. We know JavaScript and TypeScript for PCF control, and then of course .NET. What are some other ones that either do exist or we're thinking about?
Yeah, so I think directly hosted inside the Power Platform, we do try to bring the languages that make the most sense for that context. So for like client-side extensibility, like Donna said, JavaScript, TypeScript is where we really focus. For server-side extensibility, we are largely focused on a .NET ecosystem. So that's what the plugin support out of the box. That's what we have for a few other use cases. It's going to be very .NET oriented. Over time, we are going to expand that to other server-side languages. Make sure if you want to run Java or Python or Node, we'll add that support over time for, say, the CDS plugins and so on. But what's great is we don't have to be that opinionated on what language you use in the Power Platform or where you host it. With things like custom connectors and API-level integration, you can use whatever language you want, hosted wherever you want, as long as you expose it via an OData or REST endpoint. And that is a really important part of it, because we know as a low-code platform, we're always going to be a little too opinionated, a little too controlling for all the developers out there, because even like our plugins have limitations and things like that. So we want to make sure that escape hatch goes to a place where developers already know and love the tools and the languages, which if you want to use VS Code hosted in an Azure Function app and then use that logic and Power Platform, that's totally fine. And you can use whatever language Azure Function support. If you want to go to AWS or run it on an on-premise server, that's fine too. So I'd say in the platform, it really is JavaScript, TypeScript oriented or .NET oriented today, expanding over time. But the other extensibility allows you to host and use whatever language you want.
That is super true. At our Powerful Devs conference, the very first session we did was actually Sandra, who is a Java expert. She created a Java custom connector using OpenAPI. And none of us actually thought that was possible. We said, you can do this? She said, yeah, you can do it. And then she did a live demo. And then she had David from South Africa actually implement this customer connector that she built to build a Power App. So I thought that was pretty cool to see. You know, I have never thought of Java and Power Apps at the same time, but you know, anything is possible with devs who are highly creative. Yeah. So if you see gaps in the ecosystem, tell us, because we probably haven't thought of it yet or don't understand your use case. So if you've got a really strong use case and you think this can help other people, let us know. Our roadmap is like 90% things people asked us for. Right. So, okay. The next one is just more of a logistical question. There are people who have M365 licenses or they have Azure credits. Is there a way to extend Azure credits or M365, the dev tenant we already have, whether it's in companies or schools? How can we use these things to include more Power Platform functionality?
So we have actually a lot of different options, because one of our big focuses is we want to make it easy for people to get started with Power Platform. And we also view Power Platform as the extensibility platform for all of Microsoft. So if you have an M365 license, you actually have a whole bunch of Power Platform capabilities seated in that license already. So if you want to go build an app for SharePoint or inside of Teams, you can do that today with your existing M365 licenses. Similarly, if you want to get started, maybe you don't use M365 or you want to use the premium features, We have a one-click, no credit card required trial experience for all the Power Platform products. And that trial experience can be renewed for as long as you need it as a developer. And there's even a way to convert an environment to become a developer environment, which becomes perpetually free as well. Has some restrictions, of course, for production workloads and whatnot. But the idea is we don't want a credit card. We don't want to kind of put any barriers in the way. And we want to make sure you get a whole bunch of value inside of what comes with those M365 licenses. And I would say, I won't spill the beans early, but we have a really exciting announcement related to Azure and Power Platform that we will be announcing at Ignite next month to go make this even easier for a few different use cases.
So you heard the man. If you've got an M365 dev tenant, and if you don't have one, you should go get one. As a developer, it's just a good thing to have, and especially as part of your portfolio, because there's going to be, 150 million vacant dev jobs in the next 5 years. And we're not making enough computer science majors. We're trying. It's not working. So if you are a computer science major, if you're not a computer science major, we highly recommend you go get an M365 dev license. It is free, by the way. Look up Microsoft 365 Developer and you go sign up for the dev program. You don't need a work account, school account. You sign up with like Outlook, Gmail, whatever. And then you get a free E5 license, sign up for the E5 license. And then you get a SharePoint provisioned for you or a Power Platform tenant provisioned for you or an Azure tenant provisioned for you. And you can use that to do a ton of development work. That's actually what we recommend everyone to start with while you are learning the tools. And like Charles said, you know, go if you want to try AI Builder, if you want to try CDS, if you want to try Power Virtual Agents, one-click trial, just with the same tenant. And you can have 25 users for your tenant, so they can, you know, you can find a bunch of victims in your company to try out these things if you're doing stuff on your own or in a business. So go try it out. No excuses. All right. Next question. This is from the audience as well. What do you see in terms of team effort enablement for Canvas type power apps? Is there a way to allow teams of people to work on a single app like as easily as like model driven power apps? This comes from Eric, who's one of our wonderful MVPs. Hi, Eric.
I'm really excited about this question. Because I'd say there's two main ways that we're going to go make this easier. And those are two things that I'd say you see the beginning steps of today and they'll continue to improve over the next 18 months. Mm-hmm. And the first is to go make it so that Canvas apps and Power Apps more broadly is more source control ready. And what we mean by that is instead of having a giant like monolithic zip file or Base64 encoded XML thing that describes your app, make it so the Canvas app is decomposed into individual files, which makes it possible for you to easily check it into source control and to go build and publish as part of a CI/CD pipeline. To do that, of course, people probably don't care about it, but there's a bunch of work on our end to go decompose the file format, make it more stable for changes over time, make it diffable, things like that. And as we do it, we'll imagine that pro devs will be able to use source control to do the collaboration of Canvas apps, just like they do for any other artifact in a professional developer project. And we have like Azure DevOps integration, and we have the Power Apps command line interface, which go make it possible to start doing things inside source control in Power Apps. But there's a bunch of work we have to do to make the Canvas app file types source control ready. So that's kind of option number one. Option number two, which we're working on and we're actually going to roll out pretty soon for Power Virtual Agent, but we're going to roll out for Power Apps in the future as well, is an idea of proper co-authoring, just like what you see for SharePoint or Excel or Word, where you can have three people working on the same Canvas app at the same time, and you see their changes in real time. And in the way we've done it for Power Virtual Agent, you actually see like a little floating head, just like you do inside of Office. So to see people as they go and work in the same bot as you for Power Virtual Agent. And the idea is we're going to go bring that really across the board in the Power Platform. That co-authoring is not something that's going to come by the end of 2020, but it's something that we're starting to work on to go enable in a very first class way. And that's kind of the way we want people to think about it. Because when you can have a pro dev and a business user both looking at an app at the same time, that's really magical. They can move a control up, they can add some logic, things along those lines. So those are the two big aspects. Make it source control ready, CI/CD ready for Canvas apps. Make sure there's broad co-authoring across the entire platform including for Canvas apps. So those are the two big things that we're going to go to make this better, with pieces of it coming pretty soon and some coming later on.
Okay. First of all, I love learning about new things on the roadmap live on air, because this is my face when that happens. Oh my gosh, the bot thing will be so freaking cool. Yeah. Just 2 weeks ago, I was helping our team admin, Lisa, with making a bot where everyone pings her and says, Lisa, do you have like a milestone monitor? Can I have some money, et cetera? And she's so sick of these questions. It's always the same five questions because we're really annoying, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always like, give us this, give us that. So she's making a Lisa bot that's answering these questions. And she's gotten stuck in a place and I'm like looking over her screen, but I can't be there because we're not there in person. And I was like, I wish we had VS Live Share for bots. And I was like, I wish you understood live share, because it would change the game. And I wish we had live share for bots. And now we're going to have live share for bots. And yep, it'll be amazing because I can debug her bot. And then if we need to call in like a bot expert, we call a bot expert. That'll be amazing. It'll be insane. It's so freaking cool. Oh my gosh. I love that Charles just voluntold the team. They're like, what are you saying on air?
Yeah, no pressure. No pressure. If anyone's listening in, no.
Sorry, team. By sorry, we mean not sorry, even a little bit. All right. So we are, of course, running short on time. So do we have another question that we can quickly answer? Okay. So I love this question. Thank you, Michael. I agree with you. Most pro devs, traditional devs, coders live inside Visual Studio or VS Code. Will you create an integrated experience between PowerPlat and Visual Studio, like Azure Services and VS, for example?
Yeah. So I'd say yes, absolutely. And we have elements of it today with the plugin experience for CDS, for this very specifically for plugins. But our idea would be, if you're a developer working on a Power Platform project, Visual Studio is your home. This question is exactly right. How can we make it so you can stay in your home, where you're familiar with all the tools, and integrate with Power Platform where it makes sense? That doesn't mean we'll bring all of the experiences at powerapps.com or all the experiences at Power Automate or Power Virtual Agent or Power BI into Visual Studio, but we'll bring the pro dev experiences that make sense. And that's absolutely the roadmap. We got plugins. We have the beginnings of it for the Power Apps component framework, Power BI custom visuals inside VS Code. And we're going to keep iterating to go make that more and more natural. And I'd say there's kind of a lot of work under the waterline that we're doing right now to go make that possible. Because today, like the Power Apps Canvas app file format that I was talking about earlier is the best example. We have to do all this work to fix the file format to make it proper dev ready, which takes a whole bunch of time, but doesn't provide a whole bunch of exciting features. But once we have that, it's going to unlock a whole world of possibilities. So we're doing that work now to go set it up. So inside Visual Studio, you're building a custom connector, building a custom visual, building a custom component, doing plugins, doing any of the other dev integration that we ship over time, that you can do that completely from inside Visual Studio. To publish to sandbox environments, create sandbox environments, publish to prod, build a solution, all of that. So that absolutely is the focus and idea.
I love that. I love all of these investments that we are planning to be making in FY21 and beyond for the traditional dev audience, because that is really how, just like focus, right? Focus on the area and say, what are the experiences? We iterate, we make things, people test it, they give us feedback, we learn. We are really, really looking for experiences on these, looking for feedback from all of you on these traditional dev scenarios, because again, we don't work in your company. So we don't always know exactly what you need to do your job best. We know a little bit just from implementing all of this citizen dev, traditional dev, you know, overlap teams within Microsoft itself, like the finance team, the HR team, legal team, sales team, tons of that work going on. But we don't actually know what you need in, say, your construction work, a construction company or your financial institution. So please do give us feedback. I think we have time for one more question that we can cram in. And here it is. This comes from April Dunham. Hi, April. Thank you for your question. Are there any plans to provide a way to offer IP protection for Canvas apps for individuals wanting to leverage Power Platform to build resellable solutions?
Hmm. Yeah. So this is probably one of the longer running requests I know I've heard, particularly from ISPs that want to build on the Power Platform. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of, we view it as there being two layers of IP protection. The first is, I would say, prevent accidental and not fully malicious copying of a solution. And we're working to do that with some of our ISV Connect program, where when you actually have a solution by a publisher, it will be signed and that can only be installed through AppSource. And if someone else tries to take your solution and register with AppSource, we'll of course block it, even if it's inside their other solutions. And this will be a great way as an ISV to make sure that people can't like bundle up what you've already built or even just take it and go list it. And that's the benefit of having AppSource and ISV Connect program as a good way to kind of enforce good behavior by all of our partners on the Microsoft side. So that's one thing that we have the beginnings of, like the AppSource installation and warning. Like we have the beginnings of that today, as well as understanding the certified and registered publishers. So if you are an ISV, I would say go down the ISV Connect route, and there's a good deal of protection you can get, as well as upside in terms of go-to-market and commercials. That said, if you're, say, an integrator, which is not going through ISV Connect program, not going through AppSource, where you provide a solution to somebody, or if a like malicious user is cracking open your AppSource solution and kind of copying out the source code, for those types of cases, we don't have good protection today. It is something we're looking at enabling over time. It's tricky because it's kind of like IP protection for JavaScript or something on your website, and that in order for your solution, you have to give it to them. So we've talked about, is that something like, do we create an obfuscator that obfuscates your solution? So if they try to go in and copy it out, it'll be really difficult. Or making it easier to go build plugins, which no one can look at the code inside, like it's encrypted and we just register it, things like that. So we are exploring a few options there. And what I would say, I really would love to hear from April, from others on Twitter or over email or anywhere else, what are the main issues that we're worried about for this and what could we do to protect it? Because there will be limits just because of the nature of the technology, like the JavaScript example is a good one. But we want to go do more because we do hear this very frequently. And what's amazing is Power Platform has gotten pretty big, where we have some amazing partners who built unbelievable IP. And we want to make sure that you get commercially rewarded in a way that makes sense for that IP. So it is something that we hear, we care about, and we're working through. And if we could hear more from the community about what we could do better, we'd love to hear that. So just shoot us a mail, and it's definitely something you want to go clean up and shore up, because like the partners and the ISVs, that's what makes a platform like Power Platform really hum over time.
So true. It is really all about you, because if we're not building the right thing for you to run your business better, we're doing it wrong. We are only successful if you're successful. Right? All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. That 25-minute one goes by fast. But never fear, we've got three upcoming opportunities to engage with Charles and the product team. One, Ignite, September 24th through 26th. Sorry, that's wrong again. 22nd through 24th. I have to write this in my hand. I am co-hosting Ignite, so I should know when it is. Tons of Power Platform announcements and updates. So you'll definitely want to tune in and hear a bunch of secret stuff that Charles can tell the audience, and then the dev team will find out after. So tune in for that. We've got a beginners conference for Power Platform. A lot of you said, you know, I'm not a tech person at all. I'd like to get started. How do I start? So we've got a whole 2-day conference called Start Dev Change. Day one is all coding intros. So JavaScript, Python, Ruby, GitHub. Day two is all Power Platform all day. So it's going to be 9 hours of content, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time. And these are all going to be introductory sessions. Build your very first app, your very first bot, your very first website, et cetera. So tune into that. That's October 14th and 16th, 14th and 15th. And then the following week, October 22nd, is our world famous Power Platform online conference that many of you have tuned into. That's going to be hosted and organized by John Levesque, who all of you know. So three chances in the next 2 months for all things Power Platform. And of course, Charles and I are always available for you on Dev2, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on whatever messaging platform you can think of, because our entire business is making sure that you're successful. So thank you so much for joining us, everyone, this morning. Thank you, Charles, for joining us with your candid answers and your really fun roadmap cues.
Yep. Thank you for having me. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Awesome. See y'all soon. Bye.